Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Don Pepin Garcia Cuban Classic, wrapped in a beautiful Habano Rosado leaf. These cigars are jam-packed with lush, hearty Nicaraguan tobacco, rich, robust, and yet complex and balanced. Notes of cedar, smoked cashews, black pepper, and cocoa. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
You remember when quality mattered more and people advertised low prices? When craftsmanship wasn't just a buzzword, but a way of life. At Cascade Curations, they never forgot. Their hand-selected collections honor that American tradition and the quality you grew up with. Quality clothing and low prices, just like they used to make them. Come see their showroom of men's and women's clothing, across from Jack's Grill on California Street. And as always, they have free parking for their customers. Go by and see for yourself. Cascade Curations.
This is Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I happen to be Jason Chaffetz, so you're in the right place at the right time. We're going to kick things off with, you know, what's been in the news, what will be in the news, and what's been in the news in the past, which got swept under the rug so quickly, so fast. Do you remember when there was cocaine that was found at the White House? I mean, what it started with was, oh, we got a suspicious substance at the White House. I mean, they call the fire department at that point, you know. White House, Secret Service have a lot of resources, but fire and hazmat is not embedded right there full time. You got to call into Washington, D.C. and get those people. That's my understanding of how that works. And so we have Miranda Devine. She's one of the best out there. We haven't had her on the podcast, so we're going to learn a little bit more about Miranda Devine. But we're also going to talk about cocaine at the White House. There's a new Fox Nation special out there. If you all don't have Fox Nation, you really should, because there's a lot of good quality programming and some original programming, and cocaine at 1600. Miranda Devine, this Fox Nation special just came out. It's new. So we're going to talk about cocaine, because whatever happened, remember, a suspicious substance, and then it was in one room, then it was in another room, and then it was deemed cocaine, and everybody said, oh, cocaine, And then almost immediately, I mean, in record time, Homeland Security came out and said, oh, nothing to see here, conclusive, whoop, wiped their hands of it, we're done, it's gone. Homeland Security has a lot on its plate, right? They have a lot of different jurisdictions, including the Secret Service. So how is it that cocaine can make its way in? You know, with a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving bodies there at the White House, you know, you could understand how maybe a small substance, but who's moving what room when? You can't tell me they don't know that. And if they don't, there's another big problem. But this happened under Joe Biden's watch, and it's begged a lot of questions. And I think what you'll find is when you see this Fox Nation special, the cocaine at 1600, you're going to be like, ooh, I'm going to be aghast of what's going on there. So let's talk about a few things in the news, get to the stupid, and then we'll get to Miranda Devine because she's got a lot to say about this. So first thing I want to talk about in the news is, oh my goodness, yet again, another referral. It is unbelievable to me. The targeting and the aggressive nature, the weaponization of the federal government that was used time and time again, unfortunately, multiple times, in targeting Donald Trump. Now, we're not going to exhaust the whole analysis here in this podcast. We should probably do future podcasts on this. But suffice it to say, don't tell me, Democrats, that you're like suddenly surprised. And all these tired excuses of, oh, that happened a long time ago. Oh, that's not new information. These are all the silly things that they say to try to tamper down any explosive nature of the so-called traditional media. But in any scenario, when you have people at this level involved and engaged in weaponizing the Department of Justice, the wheels, the apparatus of law enforcement, and covert, well, I shouldn't say covert because it has a very specific definition, but classified information used in such a way to try to target and take down somebody for pure political reasons is something we cannot stand for. You know, with all the Democrats and all the allegations, the no kings, you know, all this hoopla about, oh, we're not a dictatorship. Isn't it ironic? Doesn't it strike you as like that was just gaslighting that really, it's projection. They were really foreshadowing and articulating what they themselves did. You know, this nihilism that's out there, this attempt by the Democrats to justify the ends by any means by saying, oh, Donald Trump is a fascist. He's a dictator. He's like, I mean, pick your negative word that you can. Donald Trump's been one of the most successful presidents in the history of our nation, solving and concluding wars, getting our footing back in terms of our ability to protect our borders, getting the economy moving in the right direction, insisting on law enforcement. I mean, these are the bedrocks. These are the foundations. These are the principles of our nation as enshrined in our founding documents. And yet the left is just apoplectic about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And because he's doing it the legal, lawful way, they seem to say, oh no, we need to take him down. Threatening violence, instituting violence, cheering violence. It's unbelievable. And yet Antifa is anti-fascist. That's what it's supposed to stand for. Who's the fascist when they go out and decide to, you know, destroy things and blow things up and attack police and attack individuals? That's what fascists do. It's not anti. It's not peaceful. And anyway, we're getting to the point now where yet another referral has gone to the Department of Justice. This weaponization of our law enforcement, scary, scary stuff. So some of it's not direct law enforcement. Some of it's part of the security apparatus. But we're going to have to let this play out and let the wheels of justice. And how many times, by the way, do we hear the Democrats saying, no person is above the law? Like, really? Okay. So now somebody else is entangled in it. And then another person is entangled in it. And then another person is entangled to it. There gets to be a point where it gets to be a little bit tiresome. And you just think, oh, okay, well, you practice not what you preach. You preach one thing, but do something totally different. And it always meets your political ends, which means take down Donald Trump in any means possible. It's just, it's the absurdity of it that continues on in perpetuity that I think is just not palatable to the American people. I think that's why, you know, we have this critical election coming up. That comes, you know, this podcast is released on Monday, elections on Tuesday. We'll see where it takes us. I don't think New York City is going to be the bellwether, but it is scary how far to the left the Democrats have lurched, that they're willing to go seemingly in support of somebody, and if he doesn't win, certainly with huge numbers, who is an avowed socialist, somebody who really does believe and gets support from the Communist Party, the Communists, literally. Now, maybe the younger generation doesn't react as viscerally as I do to that, but these are some really nefarious intent and policies that scare the living daylights out of me, and it should everybody else. And anyway, we're going to see what the election results are. On Tuesday, I think we're going to see Jack Titterelli in New Jersey do better than his opponent. She has focused on Trump, Trump, Trump. He has focused on New Jersey and what can I do better and how can I improve this. He has pointed out the scandals that she has been involved in. But at the same time, he's a happy warrior. He's a positive person. He has a plan for New Jersey. And he has some basic things that he wants to do. And ultimately, elections are about authenticity. They're about the future. And do you have the right plans? And the same down in Virginia. You know, Winston Sears is, by all accounts, behind in the vote, but these things are decided by who shows up. And that middle part, that last 5% of the electorate, they can swing left or right, they can go Democrat or Republican. In part, they reflect the mood. They reflect a, hey, what's happening, what's not happening in the world. And what's happening or not happening in the world is Democrats are imploding. They don't have any new ideas that help solve people's problems. Republicans, they actually have some financial issues, safety and security issues, common sense things, particularly in Virginia, about, I don't know, men in women's bathrooms. I can't believe we even still talk about that, because it just seems such common sense that, no, you just don't allow that to happen. But there are a lot of people who think it does. It should happen. I don't get it. But these are the types of things. But again, Virginia and New York, are they bellwethers for the whole country? No, they're really not. You're talking about Washington, D.C. You're talking about New York. That is far different than most of the other 48 states. So we will see what happens, not to create an excuse, but The fact that some of these are even close does not portend well for the 2026 election, where all 435 members of the House of Representatives and a third of the Senate are up for re-election. So that's where we're at there.
More Jason in the House next.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Jesse Ed Davis, one of the few successful Native American rock artists, was well known as a session guitarist who recorded solo albums, as well as working with a who's who of major artists in the 1970s and 80s. In a 1972 interview, Jesse discussed recording albums in the heyday of AM radio's programming demands.
To have to consider the fact that you're making a commercial product, have to consider the fact that you have to fit in line with the company's image, you have to consider the fact that you have to try and get your record played on AM radio, is almost incredible limitation on a person's music. And I really find it very degrading, personally. Do you bend to the way they want you to play, or do you be true to your music, your art? You know, it's so rough.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A cancer survivor from London, Ontario, Canada, who wanted to celebrate her birthday by doing something for others, makes today's Dean's List. Christina Locke has been living with lymphoma for over two decades and decided to raise money to cover parking costs for patients and families who visit the same cancer center as she does. It's a small thing, but one that means so much to those who have a loved one or who are living with cancer. Christina says she knows what it's like to have to go to the cancer clinic every 6 months for 20 years, and parking costs add up. Some people have to come in every day, and parking your car and having to pay for it can sometimes add up to a list of concerns, both big and small. Christina is now cancer-free and says she wants to help others as part of her mission and healing process. She wants to show her kids and grandkids how meaningful it is to spread kindness. Janice Dean, Fox News.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Ethan Hawke, Andrew Scott, and Bobby Cannavale of Richard Linklater's Blue Moon. The film is set at the 1943 premiere party for Rodgers and Hammerstein's first Broadway collaboration, Oklahoma. Prior to that musical duo, there was Rodgers and Hart. The film centers on Lorenz Hart at the celebration, dealing with personal struggles and this closing chapter of his life.
I really started to see the whole movie as a Rodgers and Hart song, in that a lot of ways, Linklater was playing the Rodgers part, so to speak. He's building the movements, the framework, the building that we lived in. And our job was to do the lyrics and to float on top of it.
Getting to know their stories, does it give you a different perspective on the music, on their work, on certain lyrics, anything like that?
I guess it does.
Yeah, over a thousand songs.
Over a thousand songs they wrote together. That just speaks volumes to me. So I can't listen to their music without thinking about that anymore.
He says over a thousand songs. It is staggering. Wow.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
But now it's time to bring on Miranda Devine. I haven't had Miranda on the show before. We're going to talk about cocaine and her new special that's out on Fox Nation. It's called Cocaine at 1600. And talk a little bit about how Miranda became Miranda. So let's bring in Miranda Devine. All right, well, joining us now to talk more about cocaine, our cocaine expert at the moment, Miranda Devine. Miranda, I kind of set this up before we got on the line here by talking about this story that came and went so fast. The Democrats wanted to wipe their hands of this thing so quickly. But you, along with others, but you in particular, have been diving deep into this story because, oh my goodness, it's a big one. And, you know, we got the Fox News special that's now out, and congratulations on that. But let's remind people and walk through the basics of this story because, you're a great investigative journalist. I love the way you write. But let's talk about what went down and remind people how this all came to be a reality.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. It was a really peculiar story, and I think the most strange part about it was the way the Secret Service just disappeared the whole investigation in 11 days. It was a little baggie of cocaine that was discovered in the White House over the just before the July 4 long weekend in 2023. And immediately, of course, everyone suspected the most famous cocaine head, the most famous, I guess, former crackhead, let's call him, Hunter Biden, the president's, then president's son, the first son. And he had, at that point, was living off and on in the White House, and he had been there around that period. And so the White House immediately came out and said, oh, no, the first family was nowhere near the cocaine, and they were away. They were away for the weekend in Camp David. And that was just such an obvious lie. That was Karine Jean-Pierre standing up at the White House podium and just spouting off whatever she'd been told without fact-checking it. And so it was not true. We knew that Marine One had left after 6 p.m. on the Friday of that long weekend from the White House, and that Hunter Biden was on board to go and spend the weekend with his father at Camp David. And so they were there on that Friday. So that was sort of lie number one. And then another lie came up that the cocaine kept on moving places, like it was found in one place and it was found in another place. And then, oh, no, lo and behold, it's found in a cubbyhole near the Situation Room where people put their cell phones when they come into the White House, like a little vestibule that just so happens to be the one place in this heavily guarded White House that does not have cameras. It's a blind spot. So all of that, as Donald Trump said, did not meet the sniff test. And it went on like
sniff
that.
Test?
Just one, preposterous.
I love the sniff test. All right, but let's go back even earlier, because at first, the first call comes out, right? And the call is that they had a suspicious substance, right? They didn't know immediately when somebody at the White House figures out that, wait, what is this? They didn't know that it was cocaine. It could have been something even more nefarious, right?
Well, that's right. And, you can't just assume, I mean, it looks like a little baggie of cocaine, but you can't just assume that that's what it is if you are responsible for security of the commander-in-chief and his family. So somebody called in to the hazmat people at the fire department, and this is why we know it, because in fact in this excellent special that Fox Nation has put together, they actually interviewed the freelance guy who was listening to his radio, and he heard the call come out for the hazmat unit. And also, what was very strange was they actually went into the White House grounds, or down West Executive Drive, and then you could hear them talking about they found this white powder, that they needed to test it. They carry with them this testing kit, and that it tested positive for cocaine bicarbonate or something. Anyway, it was the technical name for cocaine. And they had to figure out whether it was anthrax or some other noxious substance, and that's what they did. And from then on, it became a real whodunit, and the White House just clammed up, shut down, wouldn't answer proper questions on it, lied about it. And then the Secret Service closed their investigation after an unheard of 11 days. And not only did they close it, but they destroyed the evidence. They destroyed the baggie. And apparently the Secret Service person who was in charge of destroying it refused to do so because it was so off protocol. So they had to end up getting someone from the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police to do it. The whole thing was strange. And then the other odd thing about
that.
I did not
know that detail, because you would think with all the resources that we have at the FBI. Now, you're right, the White House, the security of the White House, you have the uniform division, then you also have the Secret Service. And you have different levels within that. But the Situation Room, if you were to go into sort of the West Portico, you would walk by the door hall, if you will, where you can go down to the White House mess, but you can also go into the Situation Room. But that's how you make your way to the Oval Office. And for those that have been in the White House and the West Wing, it is striking how small it is. The people, you know, there's a lot of hustle and bustle, and people, you know, if you were to look at people's office, you'd be surprised. These are like half-size cubicles for some of the most important players on the president's team. But that, you know, that's just the reality of how they squeeze the advisors in for the president. And it is heavily fortified. You do have to go through security clearances, even if you have the right badge. But then there is surveillance. You can't just walk down the hall towards the Oval Office and not have eyes on you. I mean, that's to suggest that there isn't visibility in what's going on is absurd.
You're so right. I mean, that is the most heavily guarded building probably in the world. And you have to go through all sort of security hoops to get in. So somebody who's gone through those security hoops was responsible for this baggie of cocaine. And as you say, those cubby holes are right outside the Situation Room. And they're just below the Oval Office. You just go up some stairs and there you are. So it's right of things. And I think it's very strange also that they said, the Secret Service said, they found no fingerprints and no DNA. Again, I spoke to the late Bernie Kerik, who was the NYPD commissioner at one time, and he just said the whole story stinks. And he said, of course they found fingerprints, DNA. And even if it is a blind spot there, you can see who goes into the blind spot and who comes out at a certain time. So that's not an excuse. And it's a tiny little vestibule. And then what Susan Crabtree, who's a brilliant reporter, and she has probably the best Secret Service sources in the business, what she tells us in this documentary on Fox Nation, she says, well, she was told that they actually did find trace DNA, and they sent it off to the National Criminal Database, and there was a match. So the plot thickens there, and there also were FOI Freedom of Information requests for certain parts of the investigation, and the documents came back blank where the location that the baggie of cocaine was first found. Now, all of that will be known by Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, who have ordered an FBI investigation into this cover-up. And they will know exactly where it was found, and they will know who has been a partial match with that criminal database from the DNA that was found.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Miranda Devine right after this.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
In the house.
Well, and this is the movement of this because I can't remember if it was two or three different locations that they were reporting out of the White House. Oh, and then at one point it was just, you know, right at the turnstile when you first come in for the old executive office. Well, that's far different than being in the Situation Room. Now, the other thing with the Situation Room is you have to have an incredibly high security clearance. Now, the First Lady gets that, but the other members of the family do not have that. So, in theory, at least, if, and it's a big question, we're not, you know, it's this allegation has not been out there and certainly not proved, but if it was a member of the First Family, say maybe a son or a daughter, you don't have the proper security clearance to even go in that room.
No, but it's not actually the vestibule is accessed by anyone who's going into the White House. It's not the Situation Room. It just happens that you get to the Situation Room through that vestibule on the right. But when you walk in through the doors, on your left is this kind of wall cupboard with all these little numbers, cubby holes with a little key.
I'm familiar with it, yeah. But there are a couple, for instance, there is a... There's one of those outside the Oval Office. There's another one when you walk in the entrance. There's another one that's by the Situation Room. Because some people wear, like, a watch, maybe an Apple Watch, you know, a smartwatch. Some people wear, like I do, and I went into the Oval Office. Well, you put your phone and your watch in this box that then is closed and secured, and the electronics are kind of suppressed within that box. But you have Secret Service personnel watching those boxes. You can't just walk up to the box and then say, what about this one? Like, that's the absurdity, too, is to suggest, okay, well, there's no video, really? Well, there's also either uniform division watching the box.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other kind of despicable aspect of the way that the Biden White House treated this was they tried to put the sort of shadow of suspicion on the contractors, the construction workers who were in the White House, working in another part of the White House. You know, for no other reason, this mystery ought to be solved just to take the finger of suspicion off them. And, you know, Hunter Biden himself, and we play this, he has denied it, or at least he went on a podcast and he sort of scoffed at the idea that he would put a baggie of cocaine in the little box, which isn't really the question, because it does seem that whoever found the cocaine moved it to that box, and whether or not they knew it was a blind spot or whatever their motivation was, they moved it from the original spot. So the question to Hunter wasn't, did you leave a baggie of cocaine in that box? It's, did you leave it anywhere in the White House? But it's also not fair to Hunter that if he didn't do it, everyone assumes it's him because he's the most famous former crackhead in the White House. But it may not be him. It may be somebody else. And so the Secret Service obviously was doing the bidding of the president, and the president is notoriously prickly and private about whatever family secrets they have, and there are many. And also, you know, Joe Biden had installed the woman who'd been on his vice presidential detail to run the Secret Service, and of course she was ousted herself after the Butler assassination showed how incompetent the Secret Service has become. And really, I think that the coverage and the cover-up of this baggie of cocaine, which was a serious issue. It's a crime in Washington, D.C. It was a national security event. The fact the Secret Service did not treat that seriously, treated members of Congress asking questions about it, and the media, the public, treated everyone like they were idiots and just lied to them in the stupidest, most preposterous lies, gaslit us all, and then destroyed the evidence. I think was an indication of what was to come, and told us that the Secret Service had become a fully politicized and sort of incompetent outfit.
No, I think you're 100% right, Miranda. Look, when I was in Congress, chairman of the Oversight Committee, we looked at, I think, over 100 security incidents regarding the Secret Service at the time. There were fence jumpers, and, you know, we ended doing a 450-page report. We had two Secret Service directors that had to resign as a result of our work. You had one, then you had another one, then they had to resign, and it was a cultural problem at the Secret Service that desperately needs to be turned around. And I'm afraid that they haven't made the types of fundamental changes that we recommended some 10 years ago. And one of those things is their propensity and their track record to lie about what's really happening. You know, the one I looked at specifically was guy jumps the fence. He's no, you know, he's not Usain Bolt, you know, he's not the fastest human being you've ever seen. He's wearing Crocs through the bushes, gets in the front door, goes into that foray, then turns left and goes into the gold room. And the Secret Service said, oh no, he didn't get in there. And then they said, oh well, he did get in there. Oh well, then he didn't get very far. Like, we kept catching him on all these lies. And we documented this multiple times, but it does seem like this happened again. And I also point to, and I think, and I don't know if this came up in your research, but the person in charge of the Secret Service is the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. I mean, there's a common denominator here about some of the most nefarious stories we have, and that's Alejandro Mayorkas. He just seemed to be so partisan in his approach to law enforcement to have this wrapped up and said, oh, nothing here, and the evidence has been destroyed within 11 days, and there were no consequences.
Yes, you're so right. Alexander Mayorkas is really in the heart of a lot of the nefarious things that happened in the Biden administration. And you could see the contempt he had for Republicans whenever he had, or congressional oversight he had contempt for whenever he appeared in the Senate or in the House having to answer questions. He just seemed to feel that he was a law unto himself, and he was very much an ideologue. And it was, I mean, it was Joe Biden who flung open the borders, who day one unwound all of the Trump-era border protections. But it was Mayorkas who carried out that deed and who told many lies. I know myself with some of the stories that I was covering on the border. For instance, we had these midnight charter planes flying into Westchester Airport, which is a county airport just an hour out of New York City. And they were coming in at 2, 3 in the morning and disgorging a plane load of illegal migrants, most of them that we observed, military-aged men. And they were getting into charter buses, which had their brand name whited out, and driving off into the tri-state area and just unloading these people. And it was an industrial process, and Mayorkas was doing this all over the country. And for us to get answers out of the Biden administration, they just lied and lied. They told me they were children. I had to talk to HHS that had nothing to do with DHS. I said, but like, we're looking at them. They don't look like children. I mean, how can you really tell? But you know, my photographer and I were looking at them. You look at the photographs, they look like grown men. Maybe some of them could have been 16, 17, but that's it. But you know, that was the way they rolled. It was lie and gaslight, and you know, they didn't have a lot of media pestering them. Most of the media, like the New York Times, we ran these stories about these migrant plans on the front page of the New York Post. What did the New York Times do? They didn't follow up. a great story. They went about to try and completely discredit it, and they had their border reporter say, oh, no, you know, this wasn't happening. We saw it. We had video. We had photographs. We saw it night after night with our own eyes. We tracked the planes coming from the border on Flight Tracker. So, and at one point, some of these planes used to stop off in Jacksonville, Florida, and disgorge half their passengers. And we told or questioned the then Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, about it. And sometime later, there was a murder, and it was one of these illegal aliens had murdered his so-called sponsor. Now, he was not a child. He was like 25, 26 years old. And so that was kind of what was happening. I mean, these were probably, I mean, I feel sorry for these people on the planes, these illegal migrants. A lot of them, I guess, were being sent off into servitude to just be slave labor or, I mean, there were some girls we saw on one of the planes that were taken to some place in Queens. And when I wasn't following that particular bus, but my photographer was following that bus, and he said that there were crowds of men on the streets, like cheering and hollering as the busload of girls went past. Now, you know, they kind of knew what was going on. So the whole thing, all of the sex trafficking and slave labor that came over the border during the Biden years, that was deliberate. And those people, many of them, unfortunately, were criminals and rapists and pedophiles. Yeah. But some of them were just ordinary people, and they paid a lot of money to people smugglers who were encouraged to go into business by Joe Biden and Mayorkas.
More Jason in the House next.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
We've got trade wars, rising costs, global chaos, and a skyrocketing national debt. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to help diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A 9-year-old boy from Illinois who wanted to brighten his community with compliments makes today's Dean's List. Ethan Wargo said he wanted to do something different. Instead of setting up a lemonade stand in his neighborhood, he decided to put together a table that serves up kindness. Ethan has become a bit of a celebrity as he sits on the corner in his neighborhood and gives out kind words to all those who stop by. Ethan says he does it to, quote, give out something good that will make them have a big smile on their face. The idea, he says, comes from a graphic novel he read, but in the book, the characters set up an insult stand. Ethan wanted to do the opposite, and instead of asking for money, he gives out kindness for free. Ethan has given out compliments to dozens of neighbors, and many are coming back for more. Why does he do it? Because, Ethan says, it makes people feel good, and also makes me feel good, too. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. It's fall, and for many, that means time for flu shots. But that can be scary for kids. There are ways to help them get over the fear of needles, though. The Children's Hospital of Orange County in California with some tips. They say around 40% of children around the world under age 12 and 20% of adolescents have a fear or emotional response to needles. But pediatric psychologist at the hospital, Dr. Amy Morse, says you can give appropriate choices, like encouraging your child to count to two or three before a shot is given. That gives them a sense of control, which can reduce anxiety. You can also redirect a child's attention away from the needle to a preferred activity, like a video, story, or song. Also, position for comfort. Allow kids to sit upright, possibly on their parents' lap, which can help increase comfort. And teach kids to take slow, deep breaths. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
You know, you have earned such a reputation of just tackling these stories one after time, and this is probably a good time. We don't have. I could go on for hours with you about all these different stories you've covered, but tell us a little bit more about you growing up, how you got to the New York Post. I mean, in your association with Fox News, because this just comes like so naturally to you, but. You know, tell us, and you've got a nice, beautiful accent. So where did this come from? Tell us about where you were born and kind of growing up and how you kind of got into this role.
Well, the accent is Australian, but I was born in Queens, New York, just like Donald Trump. And my parents were, my father was a foreign correspondent for an Australian news group, although he was a New Zealander. And my mother was also a journalist and she was an Australian.
Oh.
And
where, so, are these, where well, in Australia?
My mother was from a farm in Western Australia,
really?
Which is real frontier
WA.
Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, WA wheat and sheep farm. And my father was from a little country town called Blenheim in the South Island of New Zealand, idyllic place. And he grew up reading John O'Hara books and wanting always to go to America. He loved America. And he traveled through Australia as a journalist, making some money along the way on route to America, which was always his preferred destination. And he met my mother in a newsroom in WA, and they got married, and a couple of years later they went off to New York, and he covered a whole lot of very, like, all the civil rights marches and the JFK assassination and so on. So it was the 60s, very interesting time to be there. And then I was born, and they stayed there for a couple more years. And then we left. My memories are very dim of New York, of course, because I was so young. But we then went to Tokyo, where we lived for like 6 or 7 years. My little sister was born there. And Tokyo in those days was an interesting place because, you know, after the war, the Second World War, obviously the Americans had gone in with MacArthur and really Americanized the place. And
right.
So everything, it was more America than America. And it was my friends, I went to an international school, but it was mostly American. So I had a strong American accent. And, you know, we read Bobbsey Twins, and my friends lived on the Pan American compound, which was like almost like the Truman Show. It was a throwback to the 1950s, really. Like, I think the way the way towns used to be in 1950s America, and it that was sort of preserved in aspic in Tokyo, even though America had changed. And so there were like little cul-de-sacs where kids played, and little bungalow houses and country clubs. And so it was a lovely way of growing up. But of course, I had no idea that it was anachronistic, and I just thought that was normal. And then great wrench when I was about 10, my parents moved us back to Australia. And so I very quickly overnight sort of changed my accent. I remember lying in bed at night with my sister and just practicing how to say bath instead of bath. And anyway, so that's it. So I created
a loo,
the Australian
as
accent.
Opposed to a toilet.
Yes, yes, all of that. Yeah. So I mean, kids are very conformist. So
well,
that
we,
was my
I
thing.
I don't know if you know this, but we lived, my wife and I, when our kids, two of our three kids were born, they were born in the United States, but we went down to Australia for a year in Sydney, and they had the best accents and the best vocabulary. Like, and at the moment we got back to the United States, they lost it. Like, it was so cute the way they would talk about, you know, no worries, Mom. You know, things like that. And then 3 days later, I thought, oh, this accent, if it could stick, it would be so cool. And, but no, not a.
How old were they?
Our son was going into first grade, and our daughter was two. And so they were really small, but I remember our daughter would say that I need to go to the loo. And it was just so cute. And it was, but yeah, it was a great experience, and I absolutely loved it. And I had
And why were you there?
Just to see, this is why you're a natural reporter. Like, you're grilling me. It's my podcast. But, you know, I had an expat opportunity with the company I was working for, and it was a year-long assignment. And we lived in Sydney, but I also had responsibility for New Zealand, which I loved New Zealand.
Yes.
I
mean, isn't it beautiful?
Oh, it's so, the South Island, everything. Auckland,
yeah.
I just absolutely loved it. And that's
my husband's
place
from
I could
the
go
South
spend
Island.
Some more time with. That's for
yeah,
sure.
It's gorgeous. And Sydney's my hometown, so of course I absolutely love it. It's
yeah.
the city
I lived out
I spent most of my time
in Pymble.
Pymble, oh yeah.
Pymble, yes.
That's lovely. That's sort of like the Chappaqua of Sydney, I would say.
So we found out, like, who was the most famous person to be in Pymble at that school that they went to with the wide Aussie hats? You know, they all wear school in Australia. They all
PLC.
Wear uniforms. Yes.
Pymble Ladies College. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It?
Well, the most famous one was Hugh Jackman.
That's right.
He
didn't go there. He went to Knox.
Well, as a little kid, though, evidently he went.
Oh, okay.
When he was a little chap, he... That's what we were told. I don't know. Maybe every school now in the suburbs of Sydney claims them. But that's what
we were
told.
No, he grew up there. Hugh Jackman did grow up there. And such a nice guy. He really is. He's one of those Australians who's made it to the big time and is completely unaffected.
Well, he's had an effect on a lot of people. That's for sure. So congratulations. Again, the Fox Nation special, it's called Cocaine at 1600. It just came out. If you want more in-depth on this, check out this special. They've got this is good stuff. There's a lot of good programming over there at Fox Nation, but glad you're helping to lead the charge over there on this one, because there's a lot of really big questions that never really truly been fleshed out. So anyway, well done on that. And Miranda Devine, thanks for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Thanks so much, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I can't thank Miranda enough. She's just wonderful. Just absolutely love having her on the show. I would love it if you would rate the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It comes out every Monday. And I think you'll enjoy it. We got a whole big cadre of people that we've interviewed and talked to along the way. Miranda certainly did not disappoint, but rate it. You can subscribe to it. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Thanks again for joining us at Jason in the House. We'll be back next week, and thank you. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
Get ready for the return of our pro football season picks. Simply swipe your River Club card at any promotional kiosk. Pick your teams for the week using our fully automated pick and win football promotion. It's that easy. 5 winners receive up to $200 in free slot play every week. And our final week, you can win up to a $1,000 cash prize. And a pair of tickets for our annual Ultimate Tailgate. For complete promotional details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Plan your day with the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast equips you to tackle any weather, rain or shine. Sponsored by the Queen of Dragons, a local champion delivering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Friday's deal runs all weekend until stock's gone, so grab it fast. Support local by visiting X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop every day.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Final days of the campaign before Election Day for mayor of New York City. Independent candidate Andrew Cuomo, Democrat Zoran Mamdani, and Republican Curtis Sliwa. Heritage Foundation economist E.J. Antoni is appalled by the positions that Mamdani has taken on economic issues.
I'm sorry, New York has been doing that for how long now? And every time they double down and raise taxes, it just makes the problems that much worse. Tax revenue doesn't go up. Tax revenue goes down. And the rich don't go into New York. They leave New York. It's what has been happening, and it's what will continue to happen, only faster if they double down on this agenda by voting for this communist, which sadly looks like is exactly what's going to happen.
Former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Dr. Michael Oren, also concerned about the Big Apple mayoral race.
It's not like Canadian Jews or Australian Jews think, oh, I'm going to move to New York, it's going to be better, because there in New York I'm going to run into Mayor Mamdani. So really have not that much choice. So many more Jews may be thinking of moving to Israel. They'd rather deal with Hamas and Hezbollah than deal with anti-Semites blowing up their synagogues in Melbourne.
Dr. Oren made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. President Trump says Chinese President Xi Jinping has given him assurances that Beijing would take no action toward its long-stated goal of unifying Taiwan with mainland China, so long as Mr. Trump is in office. He talks to CBS TV's 60 Minutes program tonight, says the fear of force by China is overblown. Martha Lane Collins, the first and only woman elected governor of Kentucky, has died. She was 88 years old. Her most visible legacy is a sprawling Toyota auto assembly plant, arguably the biggest industrial plum of its day and the linchpin of the Democrats' economic development strategy. More, this is townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
This month, Pure Talk is supporting Canines for Warriors, a terrific organization that trains rescue dogs and then pairs them up with combat vets struggling with PTSD. This is why I switched to Pure Talk. Sure, I like the unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $25 a month, and you will too. But you will love being in business with a company that shares your values. Dial #250, say micro, and switch to an American wireless company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
The profits of Warren Buffett's company have improved 17% this year thanks to a relatively mild hurricane season and more paper investment gains. Berkshire Hathaway continues to prepare for the legendary 95-year-old investor to relinquish the CEO title in January. Last month's $10 billion investment in OxyChem didn't make much of a dent in the over $380 billion that the company is sitting on. The closest supermoon of the year is approaching this month. It happens when a full moon is closer to Earth in its orbit, making it appear slightly bigger and brighter. Wednesday's event is the second of three supermoons this year and also the closest. The moon will come within just 222,000 miles of Earth. The change in the moon's size can be a little hard to discern with the naked eye. Supermoons happen a few times every year. A supermoon in October made the moon look a little bigger and brighter, too. More on these stories at townhall.com. In a court case about President Trump's request for proof of citizenship on voting forms, a federal judge has said no.
The administration and its allies have argued that such a mandate is necessary to restore public confidence in U.S. elections. The White House has issued a statement saying President Trump has exercised his lawful authority to ensure only American citizens are casting ballots in American elections. We expect to be vindicated by a higher court.
Correspondent Mike Hempen reporting. It was U.S. District Judge Colleen Kohler-Cotelli in Washington, D.C., who sided with Democrats. Today is Sunday, November the 2nd, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including tennis Hall of Famer Ken Rosewall, 91 years old today. Political commentator Pat Buchanan is still with us. He's 87 years old. Olympic gold medal wrestler Bruce Baumgartner is 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
There, it's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You gotta step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends, it's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Bear's All-Star Panel.
On Tuesday, President Trump met with newly elected Japanese Prime Minister, signing deals on rare earth minerals, nuclear power collaboration, as well as pledging to strengthen diplomatic ties between the U.S. and Japan.
I have always had a great love of Japan and a great respect of Japan, and I will say that this will be a relationship that will be stronger than ever before, and I look forward to working with you. And on behalf of our country, I want to just let you know, anytime you have any question, any doubt, anything you want, any favors you need, anything I can do to help Japan, we will be there. We are an ally at the strongest level, and it's a great honor to be with you, especially so early in what will be, I think, one of the greatest prime ministers. I think you will be one of the great. Everything I know from Shinzo and others, you will be one of the great prime ministers. I'd also like to congratulate you on being the first woman prime minister. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, and I want to congratulate you on that. I think that has to be called out. And You're going to do a fantastic job, and we're going to have a fantastic relationship. Thank you very much.
While neither leader mentioned it publicly, their meeting came just days before President Trump is set to travel to South Korea for trade talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Meanwhile, at home, the government shutdown enters its fifth week as SNAP benefits for millions of Americans are expected to run out just days before key elections in New Jersey, Virginia, and New York City. Lots to discuss here. Let's bring in our panel, Executive Vice President at Targeted Victory, Matt Gorman, Democratic campaign consultant, Kevin Walling, and Fox News senior congressional correspondent, Chad Pergram. Chad, we are in for a long haul, it seems, but the sands seem to be shifting on the government shutdown with public unions weighing in and Democrats maybe feeling pressure from different places.
Well, the sands are shifting. We just don't know if this is quicksand, though. You're right. Everett Kelly, who's the head of the government union that represents about 800,000 federal employees, said we want an end to the shutdown. Now, Chuck Schumer, the Senate minority leader, he just indicated within the past bit that he spoke with Everett Kelly. And Democrats seem to be standing firm on their position that they want to fight for these Obamacare subsidies. And he said, we can do both. So, you're right. That was a crack in the Democratic armor there. The other thing is that you're seeing people like John Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania. You know, he continues to vote with the Republicans and a couple of other senators who caucus with the Democrats as well. 13 now, a record number of votes to be rejected in the Senate on this procedural matter to get to the Republican bill. But Fetterman noted that, Jose Andres, the renowned chef, has opened his food kitchen to federal workers who need to be fed, frankly. And he said it's just absurd that it's come to that. And then you have this question of SNAP food benefits, these emergency food benefits that affects about 40 million Americans. Those expire Saturday. So there's a tendency to think that maybe this is coming to a head here. You have federal workers missing paychecks. You have air traffic controllers on the job not getting paid. I talked about the food stuff. Maybe Lisa Murkowski is a Republican senator from Alaska, and she absolutely ripped her colleagues, said, we're just voting on judges and other things around here like it's average, quotidian business. And why aren't we trying to actually, get something done on this? Democrats and Mark Kelly, the Democrat from Arizona, Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat from Connecticut, Democratic Senator from Connecticut, they were asked about Vice President Vance coming to Capitol Hill, and they said, look, I think it's the wrong person, basically, and talking to the wrong party. He met with the Senate Republicans. Remember that President Trump has only met with Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer for about an hour just a couple of days before the shutdown. I pressed Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, on that earlier, and he said, well, that would be a waste of time. There's nothing to negotiate. So that indicates that the Republican position has not shifted. But this is where Mark Kelly kind of shot back and said, the president needs to be engaged in this. He has spent, only an hour on this issue and questioned how much time he had spent on the ballroom question down at the White House.
Yeah. Shelley Moore Capito, Republican from West Virginia, Kevin, said, while every day gets better for Senator Schumer and his shutdown, every American's life is getting harder. Senate GOP has given Senate Democrats countless opportunities to open the government or at least pay our troops and federal workers. And that's a specific reference to the bill about just paying those who are working, including military and government workers. Is there pressure either way that's building?
Yeah, Brent, I think there is. And to Chad's point, I think we're going to reach a couple of these key touchstone dates. Obviously, November 1st is critical. We've talked about SNAP. We've talked about pay for our troops and government workers, the air traffic controllers, what have you. But it's also we're 4 days away from open enrollment, right? And this is where Senate Democrats are, wanting to focus on these premium questions around the ACA and the fact that you're going to see, 20 million Americans are going to see those premiums up close and personal and that huge jump that we're going to see in terms of healthcare costs. And we'll see if that will provide some kind of push, some leverage to have these conversations continue. You had a great conversation with Ted Budd of North Carolina, Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada. They had just had that bipartisan lunch last week. You're seeing, I think, the backbencher senators having these ongoing conversations, seeing if they can win over five more Democrats to their fold. Obviously, the AFG issue with the federal government, employees union, that may also provide some cover for Democrats to say, okay, we have tried our hardest. The president skipped town the first time we've seen a president leave during a government shutdown. We fought the good fight. Let's come back to the table and see what we can get done with the House.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs, whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited. The point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
I'm Ashley DeBorgen with a Fox Celebrity Profile with country music artist Zac Brown. Zac Brown Band's album Love and Fear is launching in an epic way, with a residency starting in December at the Las Vegas Sphere.
I felt a calling to do a music production that was so big that it was a spectacle. I learned that they were building the Sphere, and that canvas was 4 acres of video. There's 160,000 speakers behind the screens. There's wind generators, smell generators, there's rumble in the seats. It kind of bends your imagination to putting you in whatever environment that you're in.
Zac Brown shared how they utilized the album's themes in their vision.
The title of the show is Love and Fear, so that gives us this ability to do a juxtaposition of things to where you're going to feel very uncomfortable and kind of scared at moments, and then you're going to feel like you're soaring over beautiful, majestic scenery at moments. I'm very, very excited. It's my baby. It's our masterpiece so far, and it's worth all of the effort and work that goes into doing it.
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Over 20% of Americans are likely to put off creating a debt payoff program, according to NerdWallet. But there are steps you can now take to lower interest payments as you work toward paying down your balance. Financial planners say the first is to forgive yourself and then make a plan. You might have been making minimum payments, and while that approach allows you to avoid late fees, it still keeps you trapped in debt for a much longer time. If you can shift your spending even slightly, you may be able to afford bigger payments. One idea is to temporarily limit contributions to retirement accounts, or for more income, perhaps you can take on a side hustle or get a roommate. You can also lower interest rates by calling your credit card company and just asking, or look into balance transfer credit cards, or perhaps explore loan consolidation. A home equity loan or line of credit can also provide lower interest financing, but be aware that you can possibly lose your home if you can't pay off your debt going forward. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
He just may be the most successful music composer ever. Sir Paul McCartney talks about how he wrote a song for a movie, which has become one of his most popular songs to perform live.
Say, live and let die.
A
thought Luna Dai is not the easiest title around, but I thought of the obvious thing, the original expression being live and let live, but I enjoyed writing it. I read the book, I think, on the Saturday, the Ian Fleming original book, rather than look at a film script, so that I'd get my take on it or my feel for it. And then on the Sunday, I sat down at the piano and came quite quickly. I wrote the song. And Linda wrote the little middle bit, which is like a little reggae bit. What does it matter to you? You got a judge of it. And that was it.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Matt, the SNAP benefits, a lot of things, as we said, are kicking in here. Republicans seem like they're trying. However, the president, also, there's a part of him when he talks about it that seems to be open to, you know, using this time to cut agencies by Russ Vaught, who's known as Darth Vader in the economic world, trying to cut back on certain things. Is there benefit to Republicans somehow, or is this like time to get together and bust heads behind closed doors?
Well, it's getting very real, I think, to everyone's point. You're getting up against some hard deadlines and some hard payment dates that you can't, you know, avoid. I think the best way I can describe it, it's a game of chicken where neither car is moving. But I think to what Chad's talked about a little bit earlier, I believe that, you know, Republicans have the better car and the AC cranking right now, as you see with some splintering off with some of the unions, the air traffic controllers. There's a lot more pressure on Democrats from their natural constituencies to get a deal done. I think there's two essential truths here also. It's going to be hard for Schumer to find an off-ramp for this without looking like he's absolutely caving. It's like the old saying, you know, the best thing about an elephant stepping on your foot is the feeling when they stop stepping on your foot. Because for the first time in a year, the far left base hasn't been, you know, essentially screaming at the establishment side of the party, including Schumer. And it feels pretty good for them. So they have to walk this down, and it's going to be tough for them. But I did think it was notable when they had the government employees union, you also have the air traffic controllers union, and like I said, this is going to get real, real quick, and especially with SNAP, and I think you could see those cracks start to shift, especially with those backbench Democrats.
Chad, the biggest meeting this week is obviously President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping talking about the trade deals, talking about TikTok, talking about the way forward on a number of fronts. But it all happens as the Supreme Court gets ready for these hearings on the tariff question and this November case. And how is Capitol Hill digesting that? The fact that that case could literally unwind what has been foreign policy and policy of this administration from the beginning.
Well, there's certainly some, Republicans even, you know, who very quietly have talked about what the reservations they had with the tariffs. They are true free traders, perhaps, who say, you know, we need to get back to that. And they might, quietly appreciate some of that. You certainly have people in the ag sector when the president talks about, the Chinese aren't buying any soybeans and there's the issue about trying to help Argentina. Those are not free market economy, you know, old Reagan-esque, Barry Goldwater, conservative Republican viewpoints that we're going to, you know, send over a chunk of money to help the farmers just because, they're getting the screws put to them by the Chinese or something like that. I think that most Republicans still, even though they are aligned with President Trump, when you get to them, that they are still free traders and they would like for the markets to figure this out. That said, publicly, most of them are very supportive of the president's tariff policies. And this is kind of reflective of back in the late winter, early spring, that a lot of Republicans were willing to give the president as much deference as possible in trade and say, let's see how this works out. Let's see, you know, how this is going, you know, what's going to happen. Well, now that we're deeper down there and you talk about that Supreme Court case, if they rule against the administration and that completely changes the foreign policy, guess what? that's not the only issue of foreign policy that they're dealing with here. What I'm hearing increasingly from both some Democrats and Republicans is the legality of what they're doing in the Caribbean. Again, when President Trump, you know, that seems to be the emerging foreign policy here with the president, when they are, you know, just not interdicting with these boats and everything. They're killing folks. Rand Paul, the Republican from Kentucky, indicated that, you know, you have to have some sort of an authorization to be involved there. And remember that this was the president who campaigned on keeping us out of foreign conflicts. You know, you can make the argument that, yes, they're interdicting drugs, although there's been some question about that coming into the United States. But you just can't willy-nilly go around doing that. And there's some question about whether the commander of the Southern Command stepped aside very early because he disagreed with the policy. So that's the two foreign policy questions here on Capitol Hill emerging, even though the president is overseas in Asia.
And Matt, it seems like the president may want some backing from Republicans. I mean, he kind of put forward that increase of Canada based on an ad he saw, and that obviously raises questions about, you know, using this emergency act for tariffs. But it may be that they're looking for some backing up on Capitol Hill before the Supreme Court hearing to kind of lay out that there is support for what he's doing.
Yeah, I think certainly that backing helps. I'm also pretty optimistic that the Supreme Court is going to uphold this because IEEPA, which is the law that kind of governs this tariff authority that the White House is using, it's also the underpinning of about 45 or 50 years of sanctions like you'd have in Iran or even in Russia, aside from going through Congress. I fail to believe that the Roberts Court, which, as we know, tends to be very deferential to the executive and its executive power, is going to suddenly constrict in this one area, especially when there's six votes, not even just five. So I think that is fairly safe for now. And I think you're right, whether it's Canada, certainly if he meets with President Xi Jinping later this week, on if there's a tariff deal to be struck, or at least something on, say, soybeans, on agriculture, they can take back to the United States, sell it as a win in advance of more China meetings. Progress on this, I think, is really important for Republicans to show that they're not at a stalemate.
Meantime, Kevin, we're closing in Election Day 2025, and obviously there's a lot of focus on New York City and what's happening with Mamdani and that race. It's got a lot of oxygen. However, New Jersey and Virginia, are Democrats getting a little apprehensive, tentative about those single-digit leads?
Well, Brett, you know me as a Democrat, we're always nervous about every single election that we go into. So certainly, you know, the polling has tightened in recent weeks. Obviously, we've talked at length in Virginia, the Commonwealth, about the issue with the attorney general's race overshadowing some of the issues with Jay Jones. On your program, I was early on to say he should drop out of that race because I fear of ramifications up and down that ballot, but obviously Spanberger is running hard. The interesting thing, of course, in Virginia, too, is this new element of redistricting and Democrats making a play. It's taken the lieutenant governor off the campaign trail. She was railing about that today on the steps of the Capitol. Where it comes to Democrats trying to match what they're seeing in other states like Texas, Indiana, other places to provide Democrats more seats. In New Jersey, you know, obviously, you know, I talked to a lot of folks there. I grew up in the state. They're hopeful from what they're seeing in the early vote versus both in person and in the mail ballots for Mikey Sherrill. Obviously, as you just pointed out on Martha's program, President Trump actually cut that margin from 16 points in 2020 to just 6 points in 2024. So the idea that, you know, there's New Jersey, this liberal bastion that I grew up in, is really not the case. So obviously, both candidates and campaigns are running hard in this final week to go.
Yeah. Last thing, Chad, the redistricting question that Kevin talks about, you know, I'm out at the Reagan Library and Prop 50 is a big deal in California, whether Gavin Newsom gets the ability from the voters to do that. That could be 4 or 5 seats towards the Democrats. But you look around the map, there are a lot of states doing it. And then again, you look to the Supreme Court and this decision, however, comes down on the Voting Rights Act. I mean, you could talk about 20 to 30 seats shifting.
I think it is absolutely impossible right now to be able to game out properly what you think the House races will look like in the midterm, simply because we just don't understand the playing field. We don't know the dimensions of the wall. We know in Dodger Stadium in the World Series, there was the home run to dead center field. It's 395 feet to dead center at Dodger Stadium. It's been that way for decades. It's 330 down the lines. We have no idea what this field looks like, because, you look at the maps that they used in 2024, you get into redistricting in California and Texas and maybe Ohio and maybe Missouri and maybe Indiana and even Virginia now. So, again, you have to really concentrate one by one once we understand what that map is, because on its face, yeah, it's a slim majority right now for the Republicans, and that's tenuous at best. But yes, we frankly just don't know. And until we get those maps and really understand how people are running, and maybe some of these are held up and maybe they aren't, if the Supreme Court, next May or June says, okay, we're going to throw out that portion of the Voting Rights Act, and there's about 20 seats that we thought were Democratic or marginally Democratic, and suddenly are very much in the Republican camp, that completely changes the scope of the field. The other thing, though, I will say, is that Republicans have tinkered with fire just a bit here, because when you do this in Texas and you have a pretty big majority, what you're starting to dilute already in the state delegation are these Republican districts. And maybe, if the political wind is blowing the other direction, Democrats might actually be able to pick up a couple of those seats. And that's why I think it is really hard to game out what the House will look like next year.
Well, we shall see in coming months. Panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. On October 28, 1919, the Volstead Act was passed by Congress, ratifying the 18th Amendment and establishing a nationwide ban on alcohol. While prohibition was intended to improve public health, morals, and productivity, the ban on alcohol had several unintended consequences, such as a sharp rise in organized crime and a decline in tax revenue. The 18th Amendment was repealed on December 5, 1933, after the prospect of alcohol-related jobs became too good to ignore for an economy grappling with the Great Depression. To this day, the 18th Amendment is the only constitutional amendment to be repealed. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Matt, Kevin, and Chad, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
We'll be right back.
the world?
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On July 27, 1976, after months of legal wrangling, former Beatle John Lennon finally won residency in the U.S.
Well, it's great to be legal again. And I'll tell my baby, and I'll thank your coach, and of course the Immigration Service for finally seeing the light of day, as they say. Good. Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to. I should have got a different picture.
What does it mean to you after 5 years of struggling to become a permanent resident to get that green card?
Well, it was a very slow, long struggle, so it's not like, you know, it suddenly ends. I'll come out of it slowly and I realize I can go to visit relatives in Japan, show them the baby, show them in England, you know, save them coming over here. And I can go visit the relatives and come back with safety now with the green card. How do you feel?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Have you tuned in to the New Jersey gubernatorial race? It's gotten ugly. Recently, Democratic candidate Mikey Sherrill and Republican candidate Jack Chitterelli have each made charges about the other's integrity, and that's hurt both of them. Our Fox News survey of New Jersey voters shows Chitterelli's honest and trustworthy ratings have shifted from being net positive by 4 points in September to net negative by 2 points now. Sherrill's ratings remain positive overall, but she's lost even more ground. Voters see her as honest and trustworthy by a 5-point margin, but that's down from plus 16 last month. And on their personal ratings, Chitterelli's unfavorable has gone up 3 points since September. Sherrill's unfavorable rating is up 7. All that has helped Chitterelli gain 3 points in the horse race, reducing Sherrill's advantage to 5 points within the poll's margin of sampling error. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
The Brett Baer Show, Common Ground.
There are a number of senators on the Republican side that continue to want to find common ground.
We emphasize the conflict and controversy sells, and I think it's a problem because most Americans look at Washington and see something that's broken.
Why don't we look for ways that we celebrate what this country is capable of doing?
It's amazing what you can do when you get off social media and you start talking and communicating with one another, because there is common ground.
With Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
A shutdown gives this administration more license to do harm than they had before, and that's why I just voted to reopen the government.
I'm a country over party guy. It's wrong to shut our government down.
Tens of millions of Americans are going to more completely understand that their premiums, copays, and deductibles are going to skyrocket by thousands of dollars per year because of Republicans' continued refusal to extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits for working class Americans.
We need more people like John Fetterman, more people who put country over party and are willing to say, hey, I'm going to be an adult here. I'm going to stop punishing the American people. Let's come to the table, get the government reopened, and get this done.
Well, in tonight's Common Ground segment, the ongoing government shutdown and bipartisan efforts to ensure cybersecurity for the agriculture industry. Joining us, Democratic Senator Catherine Cortez Masto of Nevada and Republican Senator Ted Budd of North Carolina. Thank you both for being here. I want to talk about the cybersecurity stuff for agriculture, but I do want to start with the government shutdown. I've talked to Democrats and Republicans about getting to the finish line. Senator Cortez Masto, you've voted for the continuing resolution that passed the House to fund the government. Do you see an end in sight?
There has to be. And yes, let me just say, I do think it is important we continue to work across the aisle, find common ground, and there's some of us that are doing that, to say we've got to open the government and we've got to fix this looming healthcare crisis where individuals' premiums, insurance premiums, are going to skyrocket and they're not going to have access to healthcare. So those conversations are taking place and they need to continue to do so. But I will be honest with you, Brett. We need leadership and we need engagement from President Trump. I think if President Trump said, let's be constructive, let's figure this out, let's negotiate this, let's come together, I think that would make the difference as well.
Understanding that Obamacare subsidies are going to affect Democrats and Republicans, and it is going to be an issue, and Republicans have acknowledged that they just want to start after funding the government. Do you see a path here?
It has to be. We open the government, and whether that's November, I mean, I'm very concerned. You've got WIC running out. You've got SNAP benefits running out end of the month, very beginning of next month. So there has to be an off-ramp at some point. But I say let's open the government, and I want to thank my colleague. Thanks again for having me here. But I want to thank my colleague, Catherine, for voting with us on this.
But for the politics and for the Republicans who are out there, and they look at the Quinnipiac poll, it says Republicans more responsible for the government shutdown, just slightly. But there are some Republicans who think this is a political benefit somehow. Democrats have talked about that, too. What do you say to them?
I think this is about being responsible and less about politics. Let's open the government and let's negotiate in good faith.
Let's talk about cybersecurity and where you are, why it's important, and what specifically you're working on together.
Sure. And let me just say I appreciate my colleague because this is an area, again, where we know we can, if you work together, we can find common ground. And in this case, it really is protecting the national security against communist China. We have to understand and be really aware of the emerging technologies and biotechnologies that China is looking at, communist China is looking at. The legislation that we have worked on together, there's a couple of them. One of them is to ensure that as the Department of Defense puts its report out, monitoring what actual emerging technologies or biotechnology or activities that communist China is engaging in, that report is done. It comes back to Congress. So we are extending that report about 3 years, and we're expanding it. Emerging technologies, biotechnologies. We want to make sure that communist China is not buying farmland, mm-hmm. Right? Particularly land around in Nevada, and this was a concern of mine, around our military installations.
By the way, we have a map of the Chinese-owned farmland. It's expanding. It's
That's
not
right.
contracting.
That's right. And so we have to be not only understanding what is going on, but we have to stop it, and we have to make sure that we are protecting our national security in this day and age, because as we know, we are watching the war in Ukraine right now. Drone swarms, that's the war of the future, right? This is what we have to be understanding, how to use this technology and how to defend against it, and our adversaries. What technology do they have and they're capable of using?
Specifically, it's the Cybersecurity and Agriculture Act. The legislation would prioritize cybersecurity preparedness by establishing a network of 5 regional agriculture cybersecurity centers to strengthen national security measures to protect the United States food supply, and that's the bottom line, protecting the food supply.
Agriculture is the biggest industry in North Carolina, $112 billion, 40,000 different farms in North Carolina, and we've had significant attacks. And don't think about just the farm, it's the technology as well, because we've become so technologically dependent, even in agriculture, but also include food processing and food distribution. If you shut any of those down, it really hurts getting food to the farms or food to the table of the American people. We've had multiple attacks over the last 3 or 4 years, one on food processing, one on food distribution. It's been very concerning.
And is there pushback to this? It seems like a no-brainer.
We think this has been referred to. One of them's on the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. And this bill actually has been referred to the Agriculture Committee. And we've got great hopes that this is going to pass. Again, I think the fact that it's bipartisan means that it's going to get broader support.
You all have worked together before, other things. Is it easy or hard in this environment to work together?
Listen, I think there's more of this happening than people in the public realize, the fact that we're working together. Ted and I have another piece of legislation working on is to stop illicit xylazine from being utilized in cut with fentanyl, in protecting our law enforcement, making sure they have resources to address this. Again, I am frustrated because I think the American public sees more of the turmoil that is happening in Congress and the acrimony and the partisanship, then they do this.
Yeah.
And more of this is happening, but it's just not sexy enough, really, to talk about, right?
Literally, this is why we started this this segment. And more of your colleagues are coming on, and sometimes some strange bedfellows on left and right, but they're working on something together.
Well, drama gets clicks. These things aren't dramatic, but they are why people sent us from North Carolina to D.C., and I imagine Nevada to Washington, to get things done that actually make their lives better.
Last thing, do you leave optimistic that you're going to get to a solution on the shutdown within a week, or do you think it's going to last longer?
I think it's probably going to go into the first week in November, but I'm ready today. I thank my colleague for voting 11 times to open the government. But eventually, that bill that we're voting on to fund the government, it actually needs modified because the time on that bill is right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so I think that becomes increasingly irrelevant.
Last word.
Yeah, and I think the same thing. I think there's an opportunity to get together. We just have to start talking, negotiate, but we can get this done.
Can you get a couple more Democrats to see it like you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
You can see all of our Common Ground segments on my podcast, Common Ground. Find that and also our panel podcast under the Brett Baer Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. You can also see this discussion on the Fox News YouTube page.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why Big Wireless wants you on an unlimited plan? They probably want you to cover the cost of those 20-somethings using all that data every month. But most people 50 and up like me only use 12 gigs or less. Don't get bamboozled by Big Wireless. Switch to Consumer Cellular. Our plans start at just $20, and we use the same towers as the big guys. Join the millions who choose something better, because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed. Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. So I didn't need to get on this ladder? Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off. Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
This election night, Fox News Radio presents Democracy 2025, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern with a one-hour special led by Jared Halpern and Jessica Rosenthal, with live reports from Fox News correspondents across the country. Then at 10 p.m. Eastern, it's a live simulcast of Fox News Channel's in-depth coverage featuring Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. Download the Fox News app and click listen. Live and complete election coverage only on Fox News Radio. America is listening. Fox Corp proudly salutes our nation's veterans and the organizations that serve them every day. We believe that our veterans deserve to live with dignity and in independence, not on the streets. That is why we are making Camo our cause in support of the Honor U.S. Vets campaign. You can join us by making a donation and wearing camo this Veterans Day. Post your camo on social with hashtag Honor U.S. Vets. Visit go.fox/USVets to make camo your cause.
I'm Emily Campagno, and I'm taking you inside the Idaho murders. In Moscow, Idaho, a small college town, one case so violent and heartbreaking shocked the nation. Four students were found brutally murdered in their off-campus home, prompting a cross-country search for the cold-blooded killer. The Fox True Crime Podcast presents Inside the Idaho Murders, the evidence, the manhunt, the killer, and the victims.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Engel, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
He's a great leader, the leader of a very powerful, very strong country, China. There was an outstanding group of decisions, I think, that was made. A lot of decisions were made, too. There wasn't too much left out there.
China and the United States should be partners and friends. This is what history has taught us and what reality demands. It is normal for the two leading economies of the world to have frictions now and then.
Well, President Trump, reacting to his meeting with President Xi Jinping of China, taking to Truth Social, saying China has agreed to continue the flow of rare earth, critical minerals, magnets, etc., openly and freely. Very significantly, China has strongly stated that they will work diligently with us to stop the flow of fentanyl into our country. They will help us end the fentanyl crisis. China also agreed that they will begin the process of purchasing American energy. Let's start there with the panel. Mary Catherine Hamm is a Fox News contributor. Josh Krasauer, also a Fox News radio political analyst. And Leslie Marshall is a Fox News contributor as well. Mary Catherine, sometimes we've heard some things from China before that they haven't lived up to. The president seems to think that this meeting went exceptionally well and they got a lot of takeaways.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet what we're getting out of this meeting. I'm glad we've got some promises on fentanyl and rare earth stuff, and also they're going to be purchasing a portion of the soybean crops that they would have done otherwise. But look, I think this is, on one hand, Trump's unpredictability can be really helpful with foreign adversaries and signaling like, hey, there are threats here and I actually will act upon them and you're not even sure what they are. But his unpredictability when it comes to sustaining businesses and people who are planning businesses in this country and elsewhere trading with us, it becomes really tricky. Like this year alone, the tariffs with China have gone from 135% to 30%, up to a threatened 100 to 57, and now down to 47. And I think that's a faithful telling of the year on those numbers, but even trade specialists are not exactly sure because it has been all over the map. And when you have a situation like that, these businesses, I think, are having a lot of trouble planning and predicting. And when U.S. Customs even sometimes is charging wildly different things for one item within a certain week because they don't know what tariffs are, you're leaving a lot on the table when it comes to building a robust economy because people cannot make those plans.
Josh?
Look, the biggest takeaway from the China trip and also the visits to South Korea and Japan is that tariffs are going down, and that's been the leverage that Trump has used. That's been, I feel like we're on a roller coaster ride to what Mary Catherine has been saying, where Trump makes threats, there are deals made, tariffs ultimately are not quite at the levels that Trump had threatened. But in all of the visits he made, he cut trade deals, and it means better markets for American consumers, or producers, I should say, especially the soybean manufacturers that now some of those conflicts have now been, at least for the next year, have been resolved. I think what's left wanting, though, is on the national security front, where Trump acknowledged he didn't even bring up the issue of Taiwan, which is a thorny national security issue that he's probably going to have to deal with in the coming years. And, you know, TikTok is still also on the table. We still don't have any developments on those lines. So there was a lot of punting on the national security issues. On the economic front, though, I think a lot of farmers, a lot of economists can breathe a sigh of relief, and tariffs are not going to be as high as threatened.
Yeah, we didn't hear the details on TikTok, but we understand that agreement is done. Leslie, here is the minority leader and the Treasury Secretary.
I think what was very helpful was my counterpart, the Vice Premier, Hu Lifeng, and I had had 2 days of very tough and fulsome negotiations in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, earlier in the week. So President Xi walked in the room and said, I think we can agree on the consensus reached in Malaysia. And so the two leaders were able to discuss more bigger picture ideas during the conversation, including what the remainder of President Trump's term would look like, because I think the Chinese realize that with President Trump in office, it is an opportunity to reset the relationship in terms of mutual respect. President Trump is commanding respect around the world like no other leader.
It appears to most reasonable observers that Donald Trump was punked on the world stage by the Chinese Communist Party. Trump tariffs are raising costs on everyday Americans by thousands of dollars per year.
Punked on the world stage, Leslie?
Well, a lot of people look at it that way, Brett. And when I agree with my two conservative counterparts on this panel, you know, the deal that there was no real deal, no real trade deal that he walked away with was not that successful. So let's break it down. Soybeans good for farmers, but the problem is we're maybe going to levels that they were at before. It doesn't address the price of fertilizers and other supplies that the farmers, you know, are reckoned with. We had the president say tariffs, add, remove. That's chaos. That's confusion to the economy, to the markets, to the business owners, to the consumers. We also have a promise, a verbal promise and a handshake from China regarding fentanyl. Come on now. We know the problem isn't the fentanyl coming from China. It's the precursor to the fentanyl, which makes it deadly, which China has not been able to, promises galore, prevent from coming to countries like Mexico that end up where? Here in the United States of America. So this I don't feel is that successful. When you go from 100% to 57 to 47, you really have a 10% relief for the business owners and for the American consumers. And a lot of people out there are saying that this looks more like a win for China. And again, there's no solid deal. So we can't even talk about the devil in the details because we don't have that other than a handshake and some smile and photo ops.
Mary Catherine, you buy that?
Now, look, I think President Trump makes progress here, as Josh points out. He likes tariffs and he likes making deals, so it's kind of a win-win for him. But I do think, look, that because this causes some confusion and consternation when it comes to building businesses and building the economy, and because people are still dealing with prices, they're going to look at this large part of his economic program and go, is this working for me? And that is a question that he has a year to answer.
Talking about questions to answer, here's former Vice President Kamala Harris. She's doing this tour on her book and taking some interesting questions.
But wasn't Joe Biden, and to put it on him, wasn't his refusal to recognize his own frailties the reason that you faced a nearly impossible task?
I ran against Donald Trump for president, and Donald Trump ran on a platform that was in large part, I believe, misrepresenting his intentions to the American people. I do believe that there are a fair number of people that voted for Donald Trump who believed him when he told them that his first priority on day one is going to be to bring down prices. And he didn't. And you combine that misrepresentation of intention with also, what was at play in terms of massive amounts of mis- and disinformation?
Now, forgive me.
And a truncated calendar in terms of the clock.
I want to interrupt you because that is a world-class pivot, but it is not the question that I asked you, which is about Joe Biden's failure to recognize his own frailties and what that did to you. The question is about Joe Biden. Are you still reluctant to criticize the former president?
In what regard, please?
Well, just in terms of that question. So you went on.
What exactly would you like to ask? Be more specific, if you don't mind.
Was it Joe Biden's decision, his failure to recognize his own frailties in that position, that put you in the position that made it almost impossible to win that race?
When you get that accent with the world-class pivot line, it is quite something. These interviews, what do you think of them, Josh?
Well, look, this is why Kamala Harris is going to have, if she ever wants to get back in the political arena, she's going to have a lot of hurdles because, look, she's not in politics right now. This is the time when usually former candidates are more authentic, sound more like their true selves, and she's still looking as stilted and uncomfortable in that tough interview with the BBC. This is why, you look at the polls, by the way, Brett, Gavin Newsom has now surpassed Kamala Harris in the national polling for the Democratic Party when you look as far ahead as 2028. So I think Kamala Harris, even if she may want to get back into the presidential arena, her time is long past her.
Is she running, Leslie?
I think she might, but I have to say, living in California, if you looked at that polling, she should have run for governor of California. I think she would have won. I'm not sure she won running as president. She wasn't the strongest candidate before, and I disagree with her. We as Democrats have looked at what we did wrong. The Republicans and Donald Trump and his base's message was louder to the American people, and I always said, if all those people and all those crowds at all those concerts and rallies for her show up to vote, we'll win. The problem is, the numbers show they didn't.
Yeah. Panel. Thanks.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Ever wonder why the big wireless companies want you on an unlimited plan? It's because they need you to help cover the cost of the 20-somethings who are using a lot of data every month. Fact is, according to the latest research studies, most people 50 and up, like me, only use 12 gigs or less each month. Don't get bamboozled by big wireless. At Consumer Cellular, pick what suits your needs. Whether it's 1 gig, 5, 10, or unlimited, the point is, pay for exactly what you need and nothing more. We use the same towers as the big guys, but since we don't own and maintain them, we can pass the savings on to you. Our plans start at just $20 a month, and you'll get the best customer service in the business. I want to invite you to join the millions of people who choose something better than big wireless. Because if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
When you need a workers' compensation attorney, the only thing worse than no attorney is a bad attorney. Consider speaking with more than one attorney before you decide who you want to represent you. You should be interviewing the actual attorney, not just their staff. An extra couple of weeks in selecting the right attorney for you could have lifelong impact. We hope you will try Gorman Law. There is never any pressure, and consultations are always free. Call us at 530-262-2168 or schedule online at GormanCompLaw.com.
Kick off your Monday with our county's key stories. Tune in to KCNR at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for its unbiased reporting, the Town Hall Brief offers crisp, local-only updates and lively discussions that matter to the community. Have a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or connect via socials at Town Hall Brief on linktree.com to send a message. The Town Hall Brief, the trusted source for Shasta County News, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.